Last week, we considered the beginning of Lady Wisdom's appeal for us to listen to her rather than the voice of temptation. She came out to us loudly to grab our attention from every direction because we would need her in all of life's circumstances. She came to us with true piety, no flattery, and something better than sensuality. She came with true promises of good consequences. Consequences like justice, righteousness, and the riches of knowing Christ. With each self-disclosure, she invited us to listen further, to receive her instruction, and to heed her words. That invitation continues this morning with a look back at creation. Earlier on in chapter 3 of Proverbs, Solomon told us that the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. Here, wisdom tells us the same thing. Only she goes into far greater detail in her effort to get us to listen to her. If you haven't done so already, I would invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8 and follow along with me as I read verses 22 to 36. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 to 36. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the earth. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Notice how Lady Wisdom, in the last five verses of this chapter, calls us again and again to listen to her. And now, O sons, listen to me, she says in verse 32. Hear instruction and be wise, verse 33. Blessed is the one who listens to me, verse 34. Listen, 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 listen. But why? Why listen to wisdom? Why devote weeks, even months on end, to a study in the book of Proverbs? Three good reasons are offered here in addition to what we saw last week. We should listen to wisdom first because wisdom was present at and involved in creation. We should listen second, because wisdom delights in the children of man. And we should listen third, because those who keep wisdom's ways are blessed. Blessed with life and with favor from the Lord. Let's look at each of those now in turn, shall we? First, we should listen to wisdom because she was present at and involved in creation. Look again at verses 22 to 29. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was there. Wisdom's presence at and involvement in creation is noteworthy, particularly in light of God's response to Job in Job 38. Remember the story of Job? Job was a righteous man who feared God and shunned evil. And Satan came before God, and God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him." And Satan says, "Well, he only fears you because you're so good to him. Take it all away and just watch. He'll curse you to your face." And so God says to Satan, "All right, he's in your hands. Do with him as you please. Just spare his life." And so a host of tragedy befalls Job. And Job feels the injustice of it all. He knows that, I'm not sinless, but I am a righteous man. I do fear God. I do shun evil. Why is this happening to me? And so throughout the book, he says that he wants to argue his case before God, or at least have an arbiter who might lay one hand on God and one hand on him and work to bring the two together to work out this seeming injustice. And what's really neat is that at the end of the book, Job gets an audience with God, but it's not what he expected. Do you remember how God came to Job? God came to Job saying this: "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far you shall come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Where were you, Job? Tell me." And what we see is that this line of questioning goes on for four chapters before Job repents in dust and ashes, saying, "I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know." And the point is this: if Job is not in a position to be heard because of his ignorance surrounding the most basic aspects of creation, then wisdom is in a position to be heard. Heard by God, and then certainly heard by you and me. She was there, verse 27. She was beside God like a master workman, verse 30. The Lord possessed her at the beginning of his work, verse 22. By wisdom, he founded the earth. Proverbs 3, verse 19. And so she was involved. She knows what she's talking about. Indeed, she is an authority worth listening to, worth heeding, worth obeying even. Ray Ortland Jr. does an excellent job of driving this point home, paraphrasing Lady Wisdom's words in verses 24 to 26 this way. When everything was still a chaotic mess, without form and void, God brought me in to fix it. God considered me indispensable. So how about your life? Could I help you with your mess? Now here again, it's worth noting that this vaunted description of wisdom that we find in our text is meant to point us toward Jesus. As Derek Kidner says, the New Testament shows by its allusions to this passage that the personifying of wisdom, far from overshooting the literal truth, was a preparation for its full statement, since the agent of creation was no mere activity of God, but the Son, his eternal word, wisdom and power incarnate. A couple of the texts that Kidner cites are worth looking at. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14, Jesus says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. The beginning of God's creation, that's more or less the title that wisdom gives to herself in verse 22 of our text. Then, of course, there is John 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the Greek philosophical label for the divine reason or wisdom that ordered and gave form and meaning to the cosmos. In the beginning was that Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The wisdom spoken of here then in Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 30, is ultimately a reference to Jesus. By him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And as such, he knows what he's talking about. He's an authority worth listening to, worth heeding, worth obeying. Will you turn your life over to him so that he can help you with your mess? Wisdom is worth listening to because it was present at and involved in creation. Second, wisdom is worth listening to because it delights in the children of man. Look again at verses 29 to 31. When God assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. Can you picture wisdom delighting in you? According to our text, she does. Not only does she delight in God's inhabited world, she delights in the children of man, the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. She loves them. She loves you. As one commentator put it, mankind is the pinnacle of creation, sharing in the very image of God. Thus, the highest joy is evoked by the highest creation. As the only one of God's created beings made in his own image, man is unique in his ability to understand, share in, and appreciate God's wisdom. Thus, there is a reciprocal rejoicing. Wisdom rejoicing in man, and man rejoicing in wisdom. Wisdom rejoices in you. She wants what's best for you. The question is, will you listen to her as she, the one who was beside the Lord like a master workman, explains how life on the world they created together works best? Will you rejoice in wisdom the way she rejoices in you? Will you listen to her? And again, this invitation ultimately comes from Jesus. Though wisdom is personified as a woman, and in large part because wisdom in Hebrew is a feminine word, let's just get that straight. Although wisdom is personified as a woman in Proverbs 8, we're looking forward here to Jesus. He is wisdom incarnate, and he died on the cross in the place of lost sinners because of his joy and delight in the children of man, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising his shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was looking forward to the joy of bringing his redeemed ones home to glory with him. He died to redeem the apex of his creation, which he so loves. The question is, will you listen to him? Will you come to him in faith, submitting your life to him, looking for his wisdom, his guidance, his leading and direction for your life? Wisdom, God's wisdom, is worth listening to because it delights in the children of man. It is good for you. Wisdom is worth listening to because it was present at and involved in creation. Wisdom is worth listening to because it delights in the children of man. Thirdly, wisdom is worth listening to because those who keep its ways are blessed. Look again at verses 32 to 36. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Here again we see the threefold call to listen to Lady Wisdom. And now, O sons, listen to me, verse 32. Hear instruction and be wise, verse 33. Blessed is the one who listens to me, verse 34. And this threefold call to listen is repeatedly padded with a note of blessing for those who will do the listening. Blessed are those who keep my ways, verse 32. Blessed is the one who listens to me, verse 34. Listen, and blessed are you if you listen. Blessed are you if you listen. The question then naturally rises, well, what is the nature of this blessing for those who will listen to wisdom? What will they receive? The nature of this blessing is twofold. And it is stated for us in verse 35. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. The blessings of listening to and heeding wisdom are life and favor from the Lord. Life here refers both to the abundant life that Jesus promises in John 10:10 and to eternal life in heaven with God that comes to all who trust in Jesus. D.A. Carson tells us that the abundant life of John 10:10 is not to be construed as merely more time to fill, merely everlasting life, but life at its scarcely imagined best, life to be lived. In other words, when you dial into wisdom, your life becomes better. Qualitatively better. And the more you dial in, the better it gets. What's more, wisdom will ultimately lead you to Christ, since again, Christ himself is wisdom incarnate. And so you will know the promise of eternal life in heaven with God, where there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. Wisdom promises the blessing of life. Life at its scarcely imagined best, both now and forever. But that's not all. Wisdom also promises the blessing of favor from the Lord. Ray Ortland speaks here of living under the smile of God. That means that no matter what you face in life, God's smile is upon you. And as Tim Keller once famously tweeted, "If I have the smile of God, all other frowns are inconsequential." When we find wisdom, we can know that the God who made us for himself is pleased with us, that his smile is upon us, and that is all that really matters. Whoever finds me finds life, wisdom says, and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself, or better yet, does violence to himself. Yes, all who hate me love death. You see, if listening to wisdom leads to life at its scarcely imagined best, both now and forever, and the smile of God, the favor of God, then not listening to wisdom leads to the exact opposite. It leads to death, both now and forever. And it means that no matter how many smiles from man you may get, you are faced with the frown of God. And that makes all the smiles of man inconsequential. See, at the end of the day, what really matters is your standing before God. Do you have his smile? Or do you have his frown? And the way to have his smile is the way of wisdom, the way of Christ. To come to the cross where Jesus redeemed his fallen creation to find not just the hope of everlasting life, but the smile of God. In 1851, when John Mason Neal published an adaptation of the 9th century Latin hymn Veni Emmanuel in his medieval hymns, he included a verse based on Proverbs chapter 8, and you are familiar with this hymn. O come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh, to us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Rejoice! Rejoice! Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. When we look for wisdom, we are ultimately looking for Jesus, our Emmanuel. And Jesus is worth listening to. He is worth seeking because he was present at and involved in creation, because he delights in the children of man, and because he blesses those who keep his ways with life at its scarcely imagined best, both now and forever, and with the smile of God that makes all other frowns inconsequential. Listen to wisdom as he calls to you.